and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
Wing.
And I'm Shark Taco. Legends Podcast makes a detour to the western coast of Australia for a wannabe Tarantino flick from director Kriv Stenders. Co-starring Westworld's Luke Hemsworth, brother of Thor, that's right. Kill Me Three Times also brings us Simon Pegg as a sardonic hitman in a layered tale of betrayal and revenge. The movie has more plot twists than you could shake a didgeridoo at, but is Kill Me Three Times worth watching more than once?
Hell no. Lobster, I'm sure that you made sure that plane would be late. Do not talk about that piece of shit that you chose.
So newsflash, Lobster isn't here. He did not get all feminine. We have the lovely Miss Shark Taco with us, and his plane quotey fingers got delayed.
Yeah, very convenient.
Yeah, that's convenient this week.
Our question, though, is did he watch this movie before he suggested this, or was this like, oh, this is what's new on Netflix this month?
Yeah, that's the new Simon Pegg. Yeah, and there's the lesser N-word.
Are you telling me this is a new movie?
I have no idea. 2014, so
2014.
No.
It's still pretty new. I mean,
I love that he put like the wannabe Tarantino flick. Yeah, very wannabe.
Yeah,
like somebody that watch a lot of Tarantino and is like, I can't write that.
To be honest, this movie was beautiful, right? Some of the scenes and some of the shots, it was shot pretty well, but
it was just beach.
Yeah,
yeah. I was about to say it was not shot pretty well. Its grammar was okay. Yeah, its grammar was okay. This movie could have been a bad episode of a TV show that, you know, a Black Mirror about killers, let's say.
I mean, there were so many shots that were super cliche. I mean, the very beginning, opening the car door, you see the boots, you pan up, you see the guy. I mean, just a bunch of just shots that you're like, okay, I've seen this a million times before.
This guy wanted to write Gross Point Blank in Australia. I think that's where he was going with this.
Oh, fuck. Thing. Maybe. Okay. Shit.
I was looking at the style and I kept saying, like, I see what he's going for. There's a good movie in there if it's not written that way. Most of the line fell flat. They basically deconstruct it to make it interesting.
And lack of characters, like when every single one of your characters is a murderous psycho, at some point...
Sounds like one of my parties.
Well...
Yeah, but you're a nice psycho, come on.
I mean, there was some meat missing. Like every single person there, except for the people who had no lines, was trying to murder someone else.
It was, and there was enough to chew on, but not enough to actually keep my interest. Like, the only thing that kept my interest was the Memento style of stitching it all together. Like you said, Wing, they had to do it that way to make it interesting. That's really the only thing that kept my interest in going, ooh, that's a pretty beach. Maybe I should visit Australia. Nah, never mind. Like, I don't know.
That's where I'm giving the movie all its point. The editor?
Yeah.
Made magic with the footage.
Oh, that fucking mustache! That mustache he had.
Oh, yeah. Simon Pegg.
Oh, yeah.
That ugh.
Thank God he was there too.
You don't even think it's funny. You just think it's gross.
No, yeah. Like I'm just like, ugh, it's fucking bad.
Oh man, but at least Simon Pegg. I mean, he was the one thing that kept me going.
Every time he shot. And he was happy or not. Shark Taco was smiling. Like, was like, he likes it. He's happy about
it. Do you see how he's moving? It's just the faces he makes. He can't do anything that's not ridiculous.
Well, that's like, how is he this super badass killer? I was so hard.
Oh my god, he was terrifying, but just like so silly at the same time. Just like the way he hides in his car, the way he tries to look like he's, you know, just to disappear. You can't disappear in the background. You're Simon Pegg. We're watching everything you're doing. You're hilarious.
The way he hopped over the electric fence and put his balls on it.
He just hates it. He's just like, ah! Wing looked at me and he was like, he's a professional.
Yeah.
BDSM.
Yeah,
see, and I like the ladies in it too. I've seen the couple ladies in a few other things, but I, again, nothing really kept me I don't know, attached to it. That one chick. Yeah, engaged. That one chick right away has that crazy murderous bar owning husband or whatever, and you're like, what the fuck? Where did this fall off the rails?
It was not always like this. She tells you at some point.
Right.
And you're like supposed to just be like,
sorry,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't hear that over this extremely loud cliche buzzer that was going off.
Well, you want to talk about cliches? I mean, what do you say about, like, you don't kill the pregnant woman character? What do you say about, like, just every single person who's corrupt dies and only the good people live? It's just horror movie. We're talking about horror movie grammar.
Oh, yeah. She falls in love with a guy that makes her oil change. I mean, yeah,
it was every single cliche put in a shaker and just, like, spilled over Pellicle.
I will take that.
But, I mean, it was hilarious. Thank God for the humor. I mean, just thank God for Simon Pegg. That's basically the one thing that, yeah, that made it interesting.
Yeah, because they're trying to have arcs. There's a blonde, the blonde murderous girl, like, that's like that they're trying to fake kill, basically.
Right, for life insurance or whatever.
Yeah, here you go. At first, I'm just like, okay, I don't like her at all. And then they try to make her like, okay, she's in this situation because of this guy, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to have a little bit with this, and then they go back to, no, she's just a murderous, weird person. Mm-hmm. And everybody's getting killed in weird accident.
I mean, I love the accents, you know. That was a great addition to the movie. I could do an hour and a half of Australian, even if it's just reading the phone book, so that didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that movie that you just called Phone Book would be better.
I'm not going to agree with you, but I am most certainly not going to fucking disagree with you either. This isn't the hill I want to die on tonight.
Yeah, because I looked at the time at least 4 times during the movie to see how long we had to endure. And every time I was like, it's not that it's bad. It's just boring.
Yeah, it's, again, it had so many missteps. And like you said, they try to do this and they try to do that. But it's, you know, then you got the cop, Bruce or whatever, who's extorting everybody for money and, like, sees the car. And it's just,
give us a cop that we can kind of, you know, be complicitous with. Like, give us an actual cop who's like, what the hell's going on here? I don't know. That would have added something.
Right.
But he's just another gross jerk, douchebag.
Not murderer, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Like, what are you... No, I needed something to... I didn't identify with her.
You know what?
I didn't
it felt slapstick. You're right, because there was no real-world person in it. There wasn't a real cop or a detective somewhere. It was kind of slapstick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like dark humor, and I see an attempt at dark humor, but it's tough to get there, and they don't.
Yeah.
Maybe once or twice they have funny jokes, but it's... Yeah, it doesn't land really well.
I mean, there's one thing that I didn't realize until the end, and I was like, well, if I thought about it 2 seconds, I would have realized that the blonde girl at the end, why for a second did I think this guy was coming to kill her? Of course he was coming to meet her. She had his card. She's the one who gave the bar guy.
Yeah, I can't believe
the card.
We didn't see that.
So
holy
how come
fuck.
I know from the beginning, right?
Yeah, that's our big twist that we didn't see.
He gave it to us on a silver platter, and we, yeah.
The end of the movie is always in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't even see it. That's fucked up.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but when I'm not engaged, I don't work very hard.
Exactly I was thinking.
Yeah,
we were just waiting for this thing to be over.
Yeah, it's not like I'm watching an episode of Westworld that you can listen to a review on Westworld Weekly. But I mean,
no space. There's imitators. Westworldweekly.com. One word if you look it up on Google.
So yeah, it's not like I'm watching that and I'm trying to make connection because I know that's where they're taking me. I'm watching this movie and I'm like, how much time is there left? Why is Lobster asking?
You said you guys were waiting for it to end. I was waiting for it to fucking start. I was waiting to go forward.
I was something. Like, okay, just bring us to the next thing. Just come on, let's reach the next thing. So I was like, you know, egging it along. Just come on, movie.
You can do it.
I'm sure you can give me something. Give me something movie. I'm not expecting.
That's
and
a
it's
good movie.
Just spaced enough that you keep kind of going, hoping something's going to happen. And, yeah, nothing happens.
This isn't the worst movie you could watch on a Saturday, but it's, I mean, it's got Simon Pegg in it, and it's got Australian accents, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah, but if you're a Simon Pegg fan, you have a long list of great movies to watch before you get to that.
If you're a fan of anyone in this movie, you can find a TV show or a movie with them in it, I'm sure, somewhere else that is more rewarding. I mean, he's Simon Pegg, I don't think he's a very good hitman. He seems so like smarmy and Simon Peggy to me the whole time. It's like it just doesn't, it's like I expect him to say beam me up or he's gonna go fucking bash a zombie with a bat.
Yeah, they basically hired him to be Simon Pegg,
right?
And you just know he's a pussy, he couldn't be a hitman.
Yeah, but it kind of works. He has attitude in this, so I'm like, okay. Again,
that
I'm going back to Gross Point Blank. It's the same kind of serial.
You know,
killer.
You're right. It's got enough aspects of it because they were, well, you had the two people who liked each other. Like you said, she changed his oil or whatever. He changed. Well, she probably did change his oil. That's why he liked her.
It's only fair.
Yeah, right? Turnabout's fair play. And then you had the assassin who was really like the chick. And come on, though. Would the assassin really be stupid enough to kill the dude? Even if he stabbed him through the hand? That's $250,000.
I think.
It's more than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the insurance was at least that.
Yeah,
and it doesn't care about the chick. So all of a sudden, he has like $250,000 in cash, and he can just like go away, get his hand patched up, and be there in 2 hours. You know, that's it. And I believe at the end of the movie that he's going to be there in 2 hours.
Yeah, somehow I was like, he could make it.
Yeah, he's setting up a sequel for this blockbuster.
Yeah, he totally is.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, both of you. It just hurts that you say that and you mean it or meant it. It's like,
it's true. That's
I know. That's why I hate you.
I didn't want to hear it out loud.
I know. That mustache is going to come back just a little bit thicker.
To haunt you.
a little bit thicker. Yeah.
Do we have any other random standoff? Oh, here's a trivia. Simon Pegg's character, Nicholas Angel, was stabbed in the hand by a man dressed as Father Christmas, played by Peter Jackson in Hot Fuzz, making this the second time in Pegg's movie career that he has been stabbed in the hand by a man from the Southern Hemisphere. That is lobster trivia for y'all.
Wow, that's heavy trivia. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have more stuff to say about it. I mean, you kept complaining about the CGI explosions. Can we talk about that?
Oh, there's no fire. Everything's exploding. The cars are exploding like they're full of gas.
Fucking napalm car.
But you can still see the car under really well because it's just CGI.
Oh, yeah, when they were in the quarry and he threw the fucking... Yeah. He threw the match out.
Yeah.
And then when the one goes off the mountain and it hits the rock, supposedly blows up real big and then does one somersault, Cody fingers burning into the water.
When she's putting the gas on top of the car, I'm like, that's not how you do it, girl. It's not gonna work.
Hey, but yeah,
take it from one woman who's burned many a car, y'all.
But we're watching the first act and we were like, these are the worst criminal ever. She throws her
lighter
and leaves it on the ground. She's trying to take her fingerprints out of the steering wheels, but she leaves her fingerprints everywhere around there. We were just counting. I was like, they have to have a crooked cop somewhere, because if not, I'm gonna scream.
Yeah,
and
there was no way. I was like, please tell me they either get caught or I don't know, something. Please tell me there's a payoff with this, because they're setting them up for defeat.
They all died long before there was could have been any payoff.
That's how he got rid of all his plot holes. Just die first.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
They were so, the blonde, you're talking like the blonde and the dentist or whatever. They were so fucking bumbling. It was like you're watching a bad guy in like whatever with the Mystery Machine and shit. Scooby-Doo, right? It's like, oh, those darn kids. What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
And he owed more than that, because he bet $50,000 just at the start of the
first reflex. He's like, okay, I'm gonna kill someone right now for money because I got stuck gambling. Let me just bet on this horse.
And then as soon as he gets to, finds the cash from his wife, he takes it like, let me put this somewhere safe. And he's about ready to bet again. And then doesn't he get like interrupted or something?
Yeah, he does.
It's like, you fucking donkey.
Yeah. Well, it's meant to show you that you can't have sympathy for any of them and that they're going to die.
Yeah.
Well, most people are assholes in America, actually in the world, let's be honest. I'm stealing this from one of the morning shows around here, but we think there's always a good guy and a bad guy in every story. Guess what? A lot of stories, everybody's kind of a douchebag. It's just varying degrees.
You have my paper? You have my paper? Who do you have my paper?
Oh my God. The old Jerky Boys newspaper thing.
Well, he didn't think he was the bad guy, and he became the bad guy. He took my paper!
He took my newspaper? Yeah, I'm glad the budget and the box office are, I don't know.
Oh, God.
Straight to DVD?
Did this make money?
God. See, now, this is, like, I can go and grab a movie like this, you know, say the new Cloverfield Paradox or whatever from Netflix and go, wow, that was crap and I wasted an hour and a half, but I didn't even ever have to think about paying about it. I'm sure somewhere in Australia, someone paid for this to go see it.
I think it was financed by the government of Australia.
Like the Crocodile Dundee movie that they could have made?
Every movie's financed by their government.
So I think that, yes, a lot of people paid for that with their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good program because sometimes you get Hugh Jackman out of it, you know?
Yeah, but think about it. They could have actually made the Crocodile Dundee movie that they made the fake Super Bowl commercials for and made so much cash.
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous, their thing. It worked so well, but hey, we got this instead.
Taco, any other good thoughts on this awesome, delectable movie?
Well, just the fact that boyfriend, the mechanic boyfriend, also plays in Westworld.
Yeah. Yep, the lesser Hemsworth, as the lobster called him.
Yeah, because we were watching him, and right after it, we start watching our Westworld for Westworld Weekly, One World on Google. But you,
I love hate you.
That was rough.
Yeah, a little bit. So we're watching, and we're like,
I'm surprised there wasn't an extra H in there.
Could this be the same guy? And start looking like, yes!
Dude, it looks like him so much. It's for sure it's him. And then he sees that the guy's name is in both IMDb pages. And he's like, is that the right character name? I'm like, do you have to ask? Like, if he's in both productions, he's nobody else in those two people.
But that threw me around because he was in the last Thor movie. But when I read the role he was having, then I understood why. He was playing the actor playing Thor in the play in Thor.
And Matt Damon was playing Loki.
Loki.
Yep.
I need to watch that again. So good. If you think about it, this is right before, technically right before the first season of Westworld. Because it's been fucking 3 years or probably 3.5, 4 years since they started filming on the first season.
Nice upgrade, dude. I'm just saying now you're working with Jonathan Nolan. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. And,
on a wannabe Nolan movie, though.
Yeah.
Is what he was doing.
Yeah, but...
Well, but now he's also got the cash of Westworld.
Yeah.
HBO.
Yeah.
Time Warner. Soon to be Comcast.
Isn't it Spectrum? It's Spectrum now up here by us.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This old deal is coming down, so all these companies are merging.
Great. Whatever happened to that Monopoly shit? Anyways.
Yeah, the judge was like, yeah, no, well, don't care. Sure, go. So they won yesterday, I think.
Great.
That should be in our news segment. So I think we're ready to rate this one.
I was going to say I'm done. I have nothing else.
I'm done. We hear Mike hit the fucking ground. And
I'll let you end now.
All right. We are going to start with you, Miss Taco. For Kill Me Three Times, are you going Legendary?
Thunder from Down Under.
Legend of its time.
Pegged as a winner.
Cult legend.
I don't dive, I thrive.
I don't die, I thrive, not dive. Awesome.
Wonder from Down Under.
entertaining.
Aussie rules.
Mabel.
Blunder from Down Under.
Forgettable.
Fool me three times, shame on you.
Abysmal.
Chunder from Down Under.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Crocodile Dundee in L.A. Yeah.
You know what? I was going to say forgettable. It's not abysmal. I was going to say forgettable, but there's Simon Pegg in it. So I'm going to give it that half taco extra. And I'm going to go with Mabel. Blunder from Down Under. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. I mean, what was there in there that really blew my mind? Except for just, it wasn't even humor. They weren't jokes. There were no funny jokes. There was just hilarious body language and tone.
Uncomfortable,
by one actor.
Uncomfortable settings.
It was all weird and uncomfortable, and I didn't like anyone in the movie. And you know what? At least I laughed, and I wasn't waiting for it to end so much as just, you know, wanting it to move a little faster. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't hate it, but yeah, if it wasn't for Simon Pegg, I'd forget about it. So, Mabel.
Wing?
I'm going to give it a very solid forgettable. Next time somebody says, like, kill me three times or whatever the title of this shit is, I'm never going to remember that thing. Somebody at some point is going to mention that the Simon Pegg killer, serial killer, Aussie movie, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I think I saw that. But that's pretty much where this movie is going. I have no hate for it. It's not a movie that you can hate. It's competent. It's there. They have a story. It's not very good, but it's there. It's shot okay. They have a great editor again. The editor is what saves the movie, but I've seen that before too, so yeah, this is a very, very solid fool me three times, shame on you.
Oh, shit. You both are not wrong in any of your prognoses for this. Yeah, I think I got to go. I think the Simon Pegg bump does not push it up to Mabel for me.
Wow.
I think I got to follow Wing. I love Simon Pegg.
But the mustache.
fool me three times, shame on you. It's forgettable. I won't remember it. I'll remember it for the stash, but it doesn't, it never really hits. It's kind of fun here. It's slow there. It's okay there. You're like, what the fuck there? It's uncomfortable there. It's slow again here. You look at your phone. You're waiting for it to start. I mean, I don't know. I will not waste another hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever this was again. I'm glad we watched it. Just so I can put a fork in it and say, I've seen all the Simon Pegg movies thus far. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Forgettable, and a Mabel.
That is enough to watch it for me, honestly. Just to be able to say you've watched every single Simon Pegg movie
you
today.
Completionist. No, if it's a piece of shit, why would I lose time on that? Come on.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg. It's like you had a placard and you held it up. Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
10.
We will see Simon Mission Peg, Impossible. We're yes, going to see Mission Impossible.
Yes, we will add it. Last word on Kill Me Three Times, fella and lady.
Never again.
That's two words. I'm going to go with CGI.
Mustache.
Of course.
Oh, so I think it's time for...
News time.
Totally blew that, but okay.
Time for news time.
Yes, it totally is time for news time. Oh god.
I could just cut that time part and leave it news. Actually, that laugh, I'm leaving it all.
Oh god. Okay, box office this week. Ocean's 8 made more money of opening weekend than any other Ocean's movie ever made.
Shut and we didn't up. Even go. I'm so pissed.
Did it really?
They don't even have my money yet.
I forgot there was this weekend.
We should give him our money.
We're going to give them our money when we're not going to go see Jurassic World.
Do need to see Ocean's 8. Is it, what's the buzz? I mean, I don't...
That it's very good. That really? It's another style, but it's very, very good. So right.
It's not just...
Come on, have you seen the actors that are in there?
I haven't even seen the trailer.
Oh, my God.
But I think it's probably the kind of movie that you don't want to watch the trailer.
For you, yeah, you're going to be fine.
If you guys have any interest, do not watch the trailer for Soldado.
Oh, okay. Cool. Right. Yeah,
If you like the first Sicario, just go see this or rent it. I am imploring you, do not watch the trailer.
I haven't, and I won't. Okay.
Hereditary is number 4, too, for a horror flick opening in June. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that costs like pocket change.
Yeah, lint and Tic Tacs.
Yeah, so once again, that's A24 is trying to be more and more aggressive in that kind of market, and they're doing pretty well as a studio.
Did Insidious and shit, or who did that?
Isn't that Blumhouse? Because they're A24 and Blumhouse that are doing very well right now and that kind of stuff.
That's
so
probably why I get them confused.
Yeah, and that's why we have a horror renaissance too, because there's like two or three good horror movie a year now that have good buzz, are well written and all that that jazz. So these two studios understood one thing: give me $5 million, I'll get 10.
I saw A Quiet Place and I really enjoyed it.
I don't know if it was
related, but it seems like the same kind of atmosphere.
That was Blumhouse. A Quiet Place was beautiful.
Yeah, so do you prefer investing like $6 million in A Quiet Place and make like 80, or do you prefer investing $300 million in Star Wars and lose 100?
I prefer that they fucking invest and make new properties and old properties and keep doing it. Don't just only make fucking franchises and stuff you can make into tentpole connected universes.
No, and give me new movies. Like, I could see a Get Out franchise.
Like, Ready Player One made $580 million worldwide, but it's considered, I think, a failure in most people's books. I haven't seen it yet. I'd love to.
But the thing is that when you say most people books, you're talking about people in North America, because this movie has hit huge international,
but not here. Just about release time.
Yeah, and now the studio don't care anymore because, look, they're like, oh, yeah, we're making this movie for this market and this movie for this market. So, yes, we're going to release it here. We would be stupid not to do it, but we're not the target audience necessarily. I mean, Pacific Rim 2 did way better in Asia than here. It didn't do great, but it did better.
Can we just go back to Ocean's 8?
Yes,
for sure. For a second. There's one thing that you said about Ocean's 8 that really struck me, and it really hit really close to home for me. You said that they realized with that film that they shouldn't make a female version of a franchise and market it as the female version. It's going to be the female version. Look, girls, it's all females.
Yeah, they said that's the lesson from Ghostbusters.
Like a regular movie. Yeah. And they didn't like push too hard on that. And you know what? People just went. And to me, it's much better that way because you know what? I don't want to think of myself as gendered first. I'm just a person.
Right.
And if you rub it in my face, I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm a huge feminist. I'll cheer for anything that's got
girl
more
power.
Female exposure. Exactly. But I mean, to me, it means more depth.
It becomes patronizing.
Exactly. Just make it, you know, stop putting us on a pedestal.
Make a good movie and don't point out this or that. Make a fucking good movie. Market
exactly.
it to people. I think this has a little bit more reach than the quotey finger girls or ladies Ghostbusters. Because that's still, even though that's very nostalgic, that's kind of nerd niche. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but Sony was banking on that
I didn't think it was a bad flick. It was still fun. It wasn't great, but it wasn't like
it was an okay Ghostbuster movie. It was not a bad movie. It was an okay movie like the other ones.
Right.
But
I didn't take it too seriously. It was still it was a popcorn flick.
It didn't have enough of Bill Murray. That's the big problem.
The worst problem is it didn't have Rick Moranis. That who is
too.
Actually doing something now.
Yeah, he's coming out of retirement for I don't remember.
Oh, I hope it's fucking Spaceballs too.
No, it was a TV show that they were doing for Netflix and all that. But still, that's cool because he's out of retirement.
It's the toe in the water, baby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're going. So
maybe it's just the I need a paycheck.
Hey, that if he needs a paycheck, guess what? This paycheck isn't going to last forever.
Yeah,
he'll need another one.
And the stuff he was in before, I think he doesn't need a paycheck to survive.
Really?
Oh yeah, when you work for Disney for a couple of years,
dude,
you get residual
Johnny
for
Depp
the rest
is
of your life.
Deep in debt, so you don't know what people need to live.
I think but Rick Moranis lived a little bit more frugally, though.
He didn't buy an island. He retired to take care of his two children when his wife died.
Yeah, his wife passed away, so I'm sure
right.
he got some sort of insurance life thing.
Johnny Depp bought an island and a jet to come with it. You know,
I'm just saying, you can't make your own assumptions about what people do or don't spend.
Sure. Fair enough. But
well, that'd be like, you know, Keanu Reeves. He spends nothing, apparently. He's like banking it or whatever.
It's just a vampire.
All right. All right. So, box office done. Fork in that pig. Cannonball Run remake. Is this really anything anyone wants?
I'm for it.
What is that?
It was kind of a
car race.
The greatest race, and it was kind of a little bit slapsticky. There
kind
was
of
like
the same way, sweets. It's eesh.
Yeah, but the fun of it was like there was a million of cameos in it. So imagine a death race with the kind of humor a Deadpool would give you.
I was gonna say I already got my dose of silly cameos in Deadpool 2. I'm fine.
Yeah, but I can see why studios are going for that. That's a good idea.
It's Doug Liman 2, Edge of Tomorrow, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I could. No, I don't. No, no.
Doug Liman's the guy who made the first Born Identity and Live, Die, Repeat. So
yeah, I
he's
know.
He's a good
I
director.
Have you guys seen the trailer or the previews or anything for Patrick Melrose?
Nope.
It looks like it's Benedict Cumberbatch, and it's a Showtime limited series. He looks like he's in a hot tub pouring bourbon on his head right now. I am looking this up. I'm sorry. Sorry, this is what we do on the fly.
I'll be in my bunk.
Right. I'll be in my bunk. Fuck you.
Everybody can be in the bunk. Come on.
Right. We'll all be in the bunk.
We all have bunks.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch performance is among the best screen work. A thoughtful end to an award-worthy series. Yeah, apparently it's 4 or 5 stars. Patrick Melrose, Showtime.
Okay,
looks
cool.
Like I'm going to find something new on my website, Wing.
Yay.
You podcast beef?
No, hell no. I already do 3 a week. Jared Leto talks Joker, his own movie. Really? I doubt it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Did you see Dave Bautista's quote when this news came out?
No.
He says, well, this is great news. He goes, if this is really happening, that means the Drax solo movie or the Drax standalone movie is right around the corner.
Yeah, he's kind of right at that point because this is not happening.
Hell
no. It leaked today that DC is looking at a major reboot, and so to recast Batman is a thing now, and just like change the slate. They hired the longtime producer of James Wan, that the guy that created that. What there is there other franchise James Wan? It's the
I should know this.
Yeah, anyway, they created an horror franchise, and they were like at 6 movies and 3 different franchises at this point, and the same thing. The guy's a genius, and DC Entertainment just hired him to be their Kevin Feige and organize all these movies in an order where it makes sense, a la Marvel this time. So I don't think that Jared Leto Joker movie is going to fit in the new plans that they have for Joaquin Phoenix that they almost have in the bag to play the Joker in the Scorsese-produced version. So.
Yeah, we'll leave that dead, hopefully. Game of Thrones prequel moves ahead with HBO with just the pilot order. It's set 1,000 years earlier than what we're watching now, basically just after the Age of Heroes when everything was falling back into kind of shittiness.
So basically when when the Valyrians took over?
So is this what I want to see?
Yeah,
I think it is.
I think this
one's
going to be good.
The Age of Heroes is when basically the 7 kingdoms are formed and there's kings for each one. and they're all separated, and that's when the dragon people come and basically.
So that's when Aegon.
What's their name? Targaryens. That's when the Targaryens take over.
Taking place 1,000 years before the events of Game of Thrones, the series chronicles the world's descent from the golden age of heroes into its darkest hour. And only one thing is for sure. From the horrifying scenes of Westeros history to the true origins of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East to the Starks of legend, this is not the story we think we know.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of that. I'm glad if they're doing it, they're doing it this long ago. I don't want something that's 100 years before. That's
I'm getting tingles.
Yeah, but that's why we're not getting that book, though. He told people about that. People were pissed.
What do you mean? Oh, like the prequel book?
No, the actual...
Just a sequel. Can we get a C?
Just finish the first thing, you know? But he was saying, like, no, I'm writing this before they write it.
The books are behind the series.
Yeah, I mean...
The guy's a screenwriter first, though. So,
And speaking of I was just about to make that sound. Speaking of that, Night Flyers or whatever is supposed to premiere on Sci-Fi. With everything I know, it probably premiered 6 months ago and has been canceled. But I want to see that, and that's just horror in space.
That's cool. I mean, again, if you can give me a movie about Event Horizon, I would be happy. Build me a mythology
sequel to
in
that
there.
Would be so good.
Like something interspersed what happened when they were gone.
That'd be good.
Actually, I would kind of soft reboot it. Yeah, I would kind of soft reboot it with like having another ship coming out a couple of years later a long time and having scenes from the first movie in it, like calling back as something that happened, but having kind of the same story again. Mm-hmm. So really soft reboot and then use that to launch its own thing.
Because I guess it could be that thing could be a dimension drive too. So it could be, you could almost reboot it and have that be in the same Cody Fingers like universe.
Yeah, and then the Predator shows up.
No, stop
Predator.
It. I wasn't being an ass. Yeah, really.
Predator.
Letters have meaning, bro.
The Predator.
I predated her once. We went for a few dinners.
God damn.
All right. Trailer dump. Spider-Man Into the Motherfucking Spider-Verse looks amazing.
Okay, it's Miles Morales, so it's fun that we get our Black Spider-Man.
But it's more than
an animated
that.
Movie. But...
This is, I read somewhere that this could be them tying everything together. Think about it. Because now they're fracturing it. Now they're telling you about the Spider-Verse. You have Miles Morales, who's from a different universe. You have an older aged Peter Parker, who's from a different universe. And now you have Gwen Stacy in here, who's also from a different universe. They can basically be tying this and all of their current Spider-Man properties together in one larger cohesive universe.
You give a lot of credit to Sony.
No, I give credit to the guy who thought of it before me. I can't remember who wrote the article, but it makes... Even if they read that article as well, they can go, holy fuck, we're doing it now going forward.
Yeah, that's true.
And the way the anime is shot, it looks when stuff happens, they take half a second to pause certain things and make it look like comic book frames with pow and heavy shading or heavy lines around frames and borders. It looks beautiful for an anime, in my mind.
Yeah, right now I'm too excited about The Incredibles to...
True,
find that interesting, to be honest.
They're completely different properties, bro, but I get it.
It's my superhero animated movie. Come on.
You're going to see more than one. Stop it.
I'm not seriously. I'm not seeing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in theater. This is the kind of movie I'm going to watch on Netflix. I'm going to enjoy it on Netflix. It's going to be great. The same way I enjoy all my Batman movies that we both watch when they drop on Netflix.
Flitch.
Yes.
Wow, you got to start holding up flashcards for him, Chick.
Yeah, that would be great. The Lego movie, the second part trailer, well, they made Mad Max in Lego. So
I haven't watched this one yet. How's it look? Pretty good?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Good. I thought the first one was a lot of fun, so what the hell?
Yeah, it's more Lego. It's good. More fun Lego, so that was fun. I haven't seen watched Mortal Engines. Have you?
Damn you. No.
What is that again?
We'll keep it for next week.
Yeah, it's basically big robot or mobile town? What the fuck?
Yeah, we need to watch it. We'll keep it for next week, and we'll come back to you once the lobster is here. The Halloween reboot of the series following the second movie. I don't care anymore.
Shooting a gun. Like, who gives a shit?
Yes, okay, they found it a fun angle if you forget that there's ever been a sequel to the first Halloween. Okay, it's a fun angle, sure. But it's the second time she comes back and that they erase a bunch of movies in between. I mean, at this point, it's the only reason why I have some kind of hope is Blumhouse is written at the start of the movie. So, yeah. And How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. If the movie is half as good as the trailer, we're in shape for another very, very good How to Train Your Dragon.
How to make dumb trucks and dumb trucks of cash with a dragon.
Yep. True. It's a dragon economy.
It is a dragon economy.
Huh. Yep.
So, have you guys talked about Wreck-It Ralph yet?
A little bit, but holy shit.
No, we haven't done that movie, though. We should.
Oh, the first one? Yeah, because I don't think Lobster did it. Lobster's seen it either.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I meant the trailer of the two.
Yeah, the trailer of two is amazing.
What do you like about it, Shark Taco?
I don't know. I didn't think it was particularly funny, but I like the premise. Like, Wing was like, come watch the princess scene from the trailer. And I was like, well, yeah.
I think it's fun that they're making fun of themselves. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. It's that Disney's pointing it out. I mean, Sean told us years ago, but now it's Disney saying, like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, Disney's we get it. We make a lot of money with these stereotypes and these archetypes. We're sorry. We're going
to
still do it, though. Right, yeah. Right. So, what is it? Your life was really bad till a big, strong man came around?
It was more like people. What is it? Again?
People assume that your life was really bad until
yes.
Being,
yes.
It's so good. People assume it was like okay,
something
that.
Like that. Yeah. Anyway, but it was to me. It was just like I already talk about that every day. So
it was to me. It was more of the same because that's what I expect from Sarah Silverman and whoever that is, Riley or whatever. Like that's perfect.
What got me in this one is that the other one is the video game angle, but this is what I would have liked to have from an emoji movie, basically.
Where the internet?
They're stupid. Yeah, because they get into the internet and you start talking to Google that's trying to autocorrect or give him like choice right away.
Oh god, that's funny.
That was very, very funny. So if they can encapsulate a lot of these websites and they can go through them, that would be that would be great instead of video games this time.
We should totally review the first one and then
do the second one. Yep.
Put it on the list.
You have to show me how to add cells. I don't know how to add cells. Our resident lobster isn't here to add cells.
Oh well, yeah, you probably right click and do add cells.
You know what? I don't. Your fucking face is being all. Oh wow, you do. Look at that. Right click and you do it. Holy shit! Shut up, Wing.
It's crazy,
Mind technology. Blown. All right. So next word. No, wait, shit. Hang on.
What are we watching next week, you mean?
Next time, word. Legends Podcast, Jurassic Park, 25th Anniversary Special. Is there a special movie we have to watch, or?
No, it's just because it's the 25th anniversary this month.
I didn't know some special DVD came out.
I haven't rewatched the first Jurassic Park in forever.
Yikes.
And I think that's a good opportunity to rewatch it, because it's still a classic. And always will be. So
yeah, but now dinosaurs have feathers.
They
explain why it's not. They use frogs to make them look like that because they expect them to look like that. They explain it even in the first movie.
It bugs me.
Okay. Dinosaur eating people.
DNA. I mean, come on, jeez. It's like they made those things mutants. Like, oh my god, Taco. I don't even know why I'm making this voice right now. I'm just typing numbers and saying stuff to say stuff.
Because you're from Lumpy Space.
I'm from, wait, what? This has been episode 377 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, do yourself a favor and don't kill you three times.
I'm John D saying, don't do that. Don't watch that movie. You know what? It's forgettable. Don't. Lobster,
Bad Lobster. You get the rubber bands again.
And I'm Shark Taco saying, I don't think I want to go back to the dentist.
Oh, fuck no.
Especially not if he has a wife or a girlfriend that's about your height, size, and build. Wait, Lobster's here?
Hey, this is John the Lobster here. So my flight got in late, and I didn't get to join the podcast for Kill Me Three Times, which is too bad since I picked the movie. And Beef tells me that it wasn't a huge hit. And actually, I have to be honest, I watched this probably 2 years ago and promptly forgot most of it, other than a vague sense that it was kind of interesting and would be the kind of movie that would be fun to debate. So to get ready for the podcast, I watched it once. And then when my flight was delayed, I watched it twice. And so now I've seen it three times. And yeah, it's it hasn't killed me. I don't think it holds up, actually, upon further reviewing. So Beef, I know that you had Wing and Taco on there as well. What did you guys make of it?
Well, we all kind of were on the lower bar of our rating scale with, you know, forgettable and mayable. But there were, I don't know, Taco loved it for the Simon Pegg, obviously. I liked it for the editing because it made it more intriguing. And other than that, it was just like...
Yeah, my wife said they didn't have enough script to do a full movie.
Right.
So they just kind of like repeated parts of it, which I'm like, yeah, that is kind of a cheat, isn't it?
Well, and they also, Wing said, well, that's the only way they could save it. But just the, Taco had a good point of that everyone seemed like a caricature. There was no person in here.
And nothing's ever truly explained.
No.
Like, they never explain why, what's her name? Lucy. Like, why she's, like, just... wants her husband to die, wants to kill her sister-in-law. Like everybody hates everybody. They never explain why Alice is there in the first place. And it's just like, and then when the twists kind of come at the end.
Did you see that clearly none of us, Taco, Wing, and myself saw that it was going to be, he wasn't going to kill her. He was going to make out with her. That's, you know, and she gave the dude the business card. Right. But we all missed that they were quote unquote dating or whatever.
Right.
Fooling around. I didn't see that. Did you see that coming?
No, I think one of the fun things about this movie, and maybe this is the reason why I remember enjoying it, is it is a little unpredictable. Like there are some twists in it that you don't really see coming. And as much as you kind of get the sense that everyone's an asshole, by the end of the movie, everyone's a bigger asshole than you thought they were to start with. And it's one of the few movies where you're kind of happy that everyone dies.
Yes.
Or gets impaled, with the exception of Alice Braga's character and Luke Hemsworth's character at the end. But even then, you're not like sure you like them. You're just like,
they're the least worse.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for what it's worth, like, yes, her husband is an abusive asshole. She is leaving him, but also stealing all his money. And you're kind of like, okay, you know, it's, I get you want to leave your husband and run off. That's one thing. He's an asshole. But you also stole all the cash. And it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's a shitty thing that he's hired someone to kill you. But that's not necessarily, you know, you're not leaving on good terms, I guess.
Right, right. It's not like, and I'm not saying you had it coming, so don't send your hate mail to anyone other than Wing.
Right, right, right. Yeah, but... yeah. I'm not saying you deserve to be
a hit put out on you for
right,
lack
but
of
it's
a
also
term.
If I don't understand the they hired the hitman or Lucy hires the hitman, but not to kill, like to follow, and then he gets kind of double hired. It's just there's many many steps to what could be a very simple sort of plot, and but also there's like. it's so convoluted that at the end you're like, oh, that's a twist. Well, it's a twist because it's super complicated and no one would actually think of doing that.
I kept saying, okay, I'm waiting to see what intrigued Lobster. I'm like, maybe he just picked this by a throw of a dart. Maybe this is something right. new. Well, but the editing kept making me not hate it.
That's why I watched it originally, was I saw it on Netflix and I'm a fan of Simon Pegg. So I'm like, oh, I'll watch this. Looks interesting. He plays the bad guy. It might be fun. But I think my favorite thing in this movie that kind of points out how like stilted it all is the cop character who's played by Brian Brown, who's Australian
movie FX.
An Australian character actor. And but he comes in and like the first second you see him, there's like this weird sting of the soundtrack, which I think the soundtrack is good in kind of making you understand kind of what's happening on screen. But at the same time, he's like the wild card in all of this. But at the same time, he's completely like a caricature of a corrupt cop, you know, type character. Like he shows up and he's all friendly and then he's like, but I will kill you. Like I'll kill you myself.
One thing that
was an Irish accent, by the way. I don't know how it came out like that.
Aussie Irish, you know. Yeah. Not here. We kind of agreed that it would have had a little bit more weight if one person in this movie that had speaking lines wasn't a murderer or a son of a bitch. Like if there was one actual cop somewhere that did some work.
Yeah. And I think one of the letdowns of the movie is at the end. It's such a tangled web. I kind of wish that Nathan and Jack were also in the final scene, like just have everyone there together. And then it's kind of like who's going to side against who. And Lucy kind of gets killed accidentally, which is it's fun, but at the same time you're like, oh, it's
gratuitous.
She didn't live to see that she failed in killing Alice. I thought that would have been
great.
Yeah, because Alice comes back at the end, but she just beats up the hitman. Which again, that is a great scene, but
that mustache though, I kept shivering on that mustache. It hurts. It hurts me still, and it's been like 5 days since I've watched the movie.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. But again, I mean, I feel like this movie is competently, if not confidently, directed. And some of the shots are good. I think the score and the editing are good.
Some of the shots are really good, and some of them are really cliche too.
When the cop chokes him and the camera goes sideways.
Yes.
I'm just like, why? Well, why do we need to do that? Just takes you out of the scene.
Like Taco said, when they pan to the feet and then they slowly come up in the car, they've used that in everything from Last Boy Scout to, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
it's again, pretty when they're on the beach. The beach shots are all pretty.
It highlights the landscape, I think, of Western Australia. It's kind of fun to have this type of movie in a setting that you don't normally get. Like, I feel like this type of movie would either be like small town America or L.A.
Right.
This kind of twisty kind of murder thing. Plot. Yeah, it's either it's Fargo or it's like a Tarantino type thing. But I feel like it's this resort town, and it seems like it's the off season. There's really no one there, so everything's kind of deserted.
Yeah, makes sense.
But again, I think overall I have to agree that it's a little underwhelming at the end, and the end just kind of arrives. It doesn't ever really feel, and I think maybe because the narrative tension resets itself. Like you get to a climax and then it resets, and then you get to another climax and then it resets, that it never really feels like it fully builds.
There's no real full payoff. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's, I think, the downside of doing your narrative in that kind of way, is that unless it's really compelling, it doesn't fully pay off at the end.
Right. Like Memento.
Right. Like Memento. Even Back to the Future Part 2, like, something, if you're going to go back through the narrative, Right. You know, it's got to build to something meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, you're not talking Bill and Ted Part 2. I get it. I feel you. you got any other thoughts on this, or do you want to? I think you got to rate it with your system. We were dying with your system, by the way.
I enjoyed this one. I will say, I don't know if you mentioned the trivia piece.
I did. Was that something you came up with?
So that's something I noticed in the film, but didn't put together until I looked at another trivia page. But if Simon Pegg getting stabbed through the hand seems familiar, it's because you saw it in Hot Fuzz. And it's this connection I didn't make either is that Peter Jackson is from New Zealand. So he's been stabbed through the hand twice by a man from the Southern Hemisphere in his movie career, which I feel like he should do a third time just for the trifecta.
Hat trick for sure.
The hand trick.
Oh, snap.
I couldn't get any box office figures on this because it was barely released in the States. I think it only came out in 16 theaters.
Oh, my God.
It hit Netflix fast. I couldn't find any Australian box office numbers to back it up, but I feel like it didn't do great.
No, probably not.
Yeah, I'm ready to rate this.
All right. For Kill Me Three Times, are you going legendary?
Thunder from Down Under.
Legend of its time.
Pegged as a winner.
Cult legend.
I don't die. I thrive.
Awesome.
Wonder from Down Under.
Entertaining.
Aussie rules.
Mayable.
Blunder from Down Under.
Forgettable.
Fool me three times. Shame on you.
Abysmal.
Chunder from Down Under.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Crocodile Dundee in L.A. I'm going to give this forgettable. Fool me three times. Shame on you. Because I have now watched it three times. And each time, I guess it did not make enough of an impression because I have forgotten it.
Wow. So, well, yeah. I hope it doesn't come back for a fourth time for you,
no,
sir.
No, I don't think it will. But I'll let this be a lesson that some movies are better left forgotten. Killed at least once, yeah.
Yeah, you want a last word on this?
Yeah, last word is I almost... When you texted me to ask if I was ready to podcast, I almost said, I'll be there in an hour. Well, better make that too. That's maybe my favorite payoff. Because you see him lying in the opening shot, and then just at the end, you're like, yeah, he doesn't quit. He's not. This isn't the end of him.
Well, they said, Taco and Wing both said, you know what? I actually believed it at the end of that. that he would be somewhere in 2 hours.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.